Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. First of all, I would like to say, if you were just putting the Matthew chapter 5 in place, and let's do that in just a moment, as we would end chapter 4, we find that Jesus had been baptized by Moses, or by John, and so he has begun, in a sense, he's begun the period of time in chapter 5 of preaching and teaching the gospel. Let's look just momentarily in the end of chapter 4. Look at verse 17. Here says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Drop on down to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So we see him beginning his ministry, I guess we would call it, where he goes forth and preaching and teaching, and it was after his baptism of John, by John. Then in chapter 5, we see verse 1, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and here we see all of this chapter, he is dealing with things that he was teaching on this mountain. Now, I could, from this chapter, we could pick up, I don't know how many sermons, but I'm going to go on over to, as I said, in verse 33. In verse 33, it says, again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. Here he uses oaths. So what we want to study as we're looking at that, we want to keep our oath and promises that we're given, but we also want to know the caution of it. And the caution here, he gives us a sense of it in the very first of that verse. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, well, I went up too far. Again, ye have heard that it have been said by them of old time. So what do we mean here? If it's swearing, forswearing, it was talked about in the old time and given by lessons. Let's just very quickly go back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. In Leviticus chapter 19, I want you to look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou perform thy name of thy God, profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Here back in the Old Testament then, those of old, we have this comment concerning swearing. For ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. I think we see the conscience there that we're not to swear by his name in vain or falsely. And, you know, as I heard here a lot of times, I go to the senior center, and you know, there's one table of men that I've finally got to where I just will not sit there. You know why? It's because of the language. It is so bad, I won't sit at that table. and particularly one person there. But we notice as we talk about his name, we need to keep our promises made to God. They're sacred, and we're to keep them, or we're to face punishment. You might turn to Numbers just a moment. Let's turn to chapter 30 in Numbers and look at verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. So here again, the promises, we're to keep them if they're made to God. They're sacred. We must keep them or face punishment. You know, in using of his name. Let's go a little further. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy, chapter 23. And look at verse 21. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21. And when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. So if we don't take care of it properly, it will be a sin, you know. And there's one other place I want to look at in the Old Testament there, and he's talking about those of old. Let's go to Ecclesiastes a moment. And in Ecclesiastes, I want to go to the fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter in verse 4, it says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. I think we see then the importance of, if we make a vow, we need to pay it. You know, and I think we see those of old dealt with that as far as God was concerned, vows to him. But whatever our vow is, we're to pay it, whether it's to him or what. You know, let's notice a point. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verse 34 there. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Well, here we see that we're to, in a sense, be right and not be wrong, not to use a name spiritual and, you know, use the name he has in prayer and worship and songs. We're to do that. But we're not to do it again. Let's go back to the Old Testament again. This time, let's notice in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know, boy, we better take care of our speech and what we say and how we use his name. Do we use it? Just spread it? No. We could use it in spiritual things. There's one other passage I know in Dustin's lesson we had, he went back to James. Let's go back to James again. And this time, let's look at the fifth chapter of James. I want you to notice there, verse 12. He says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation." We need to be concerned how we use those names. And that's what he's talking about. And that's what, you know, he was talking about in Exodus. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Boy, if we use his name's sacred, and we need to be very careful how we do it. We could use it in prayer. We could use it in singing, you know. We could use it, well, John tells us in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, a very familiar passage that we have, John chapter 4, that he talks about worship. Well, we would be able to use his name in worship. Chapter 4, verse 24. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Here we see how we're to use it and can use it. His name is, we need to be careful how we use it. And I'd say that we could use it in song or singing or prayer. Oh, we got one other passage I want to just look at in that thought. Let's turn to Philippians just a minute. In Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 9. Probably ought to read verse 8 with it. It says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which above every name." And of course, he talks about the fact in verse 11, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." His name is special, and it needs to be used in that way. All right, let's go back again to Matthew chapter 5. And this time I want us to look at verse 35 and 36. 35 and 36. "Nor by the earth, for it is the footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." I think here we see the fact, if we're considering it, we need to be in control. We need to be able to control. Now, there's probably two or three other ways that, in controlling the things that we should control. One is we should control our thoughts. You know, we need to be concerned with our thoughts and kind of get them under control. And that would bring you back to Philippians again, only this time it'd go to chapter 4. In Philippians, look at verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." I think we need to control what we're saying and going to say. It needs to be under control. Our thoughts need to be under control. And again, if you go to James, I think without a doubt in chapter 1, we find that he talks about control the tongue. Notice in chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." We must control the tongue, or our religion is in vain. What a thought. Well, look at James again. Look in the third chapter and over at verse 8. It says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." We can lose our life in heaven because of our tongue and what we say and use. What a thought. Isn't that awful to think of that? And isn't it awful to hear what all you hear? Well, let's notice in Proverbs, I was thinking of that when we went to the Proverbs 15. You know, let's go to Proverbs, only this time let's go to 16. Proverbs 16. Let's look at verse 32. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." That verse 32. Slow to anger is better than the mighty. He's better than the rich, the one that controls it, controls his anger. And I think we see that we must control our temper. So what do we control? Our thoughts, our tongue, and our temper, I think he's talking about here. We're to control them. If not, we're in very deep trouble. All right, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, and let's look at verse 37. "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." In other words, what's here in conversation? And I think we have to go to Ephesians on that one. In Ephesians chapter 4. And in chapter 4, we'll start with verse 25. You need to look at more than that. But chapter 4 and verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Here, our conversation, we need to speak the truth to our neighbor, to our Christian friends, because he's writing to Christians here. "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have the thing to give to him that needeth. And then verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, and that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Go on down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What a thought. What a thought. How we are to be here. We're to be honest. We're not to speak those things. We're to be concerned about our brother and what we say to him. And as we look, you know, back in, of course, James deals with so much of it. And let's look one more verse back in James, chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. The most difficult, of course, is the tongue. And we're to be honest, we're to be holy, and of course, I got one other verse I want you to look at. Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Our conversation needs to be honest, holy, respectable, and honorable. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. What a thought. You know, I hear in this Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was on the mount, and he was teaching and preaching and all the things that he touched with. And he says in that verse that we read, let's read the whole chapter there, the whole verses that I went over. Verse 33 through verse 37. Again, you have heard that it have been said of them of old. Well, we went back and looked at what they said, what was there. Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Might ask the question now, are you a Christian serving God? Have you controlled your tongue and speech? Or if you're a Christian, have you? Do you need help in prayers of the church here? If you're needing to become a Christian, we're here to help you. You must be willing to confess him before men, repent of your sins, and be baptized. If you're a Christian and have drifted away and need the prayers of the church here, I'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.